For over a decade, Radio Sai has had the privilege of spreading the message of universal love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, as we celebrate the 12th anniversary, let's listen to what the listeners have to say.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My name is Aarti Krishnan and I live in Chennai. To sum up what Radio Sai means to me, I'll simply say one word, lifeline. I cannot imagine a single day without Radio Sai now, because it keeps me connected to Swami all the time. I regularly follow all the programs, articles and other initiatives of Radio Sai. My heart overflows with gratitude to Bhagwan and Radio Sai, and so let me try and capture a few of my heartfelt thoughts here. I first heard of Radio Sai sometime in 2007 or 2008, and soon we set up the WorldSpace receiver at home. We listened to Mandir Bhajans, and gradually I began listening to devotional songs and interviews of old students and devotees. I also began visiting the website to read articles. In January 2010, I listened to a talk by Professor G. Venkatraman titled, How Radio Sai is Still Alive. G.V. Sir's language and his logical presentation completely bowled me over. Soon, I started listening to many of his talks and kept reading his articles. In August or September 2010, in one article, Sir mentioned that even though Swami has said that the golden age is coming, it is we humans who have to take efforts to make it happen. He added that given the global reach of Radio Sai, if we could volunteer in some way, we too could serve the whole world by spreading Swami's message. These lines really inspired me. I felt I had to repay my gratitude to Bhagwan and Radio Sai in some way. In September 2010, during my visit to Puttaparthi, I visited the Radio Sai studio and found out in what area I could volunteer. Very soon, I started doing my small part from Chennai, and I do so till date by Swami's grace. I consider it a rare honor to contribute in some small way for Radio Sai, and I am extremely grateful to Bhagwan for this special blessing. I sincerely thank him for gifting Radio Sai to the entire world. I pray that he showers his immense grace and blessings upon this wonderful institution. In conclusion, the bhajan I want to dedicate to Swami on this special day is Sai Kanhaya, because it has the lines Tumuho Mere Ma Bap Bhaiya Hridaya Nivasi Krishna Kanhaya. These lines describe all that Swami is for me in my life. Thank you, Radio Sai, for your truly wonderful efforts in all these years, and I wish you continued success in the future. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Kanhaiya, Sai Kanhaiya. Sai Kanhaiya, Sai Kanhaiya. पार करो मेरी जीवन नैया, पार करो मेरी जीवन नैया, तुम हो मेरे माँ बाप भैया, तुम हो मेरे माँ बाप भैया, हृदय निवासी హృదయ నివాసి సాయి కన్హయ్యా کرو میری جیون نیا سائی کنیا سائی کنیا پار کرو میری جیون نیا ہدیہ نواسی کرشن کنہیا ہدیہ نواسی سائی کنہیا جیون نیا پار کرو میری جیون نیا
Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, this is Karuna signing in from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 28th of August 2014 and you are tuned to a very special episode of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam is 9:43 a.m. Indian Standard Time and the temperature in Prashanthi Nilayam, both lows and highs, are in the 20s range, that is in Celsius, with occasional rains making it for very mild weather. Actually, it rained all of last night. Or most of last night, and the sky right now outside the studios is overcast this morning, and it's somewhat humid as well. Thank you for joining us today. I'm delighted to inform you that it was 12 years ago, on August the 29th, 2002, that Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba sanctified the Radio Sai studios by visiting us in person. He arrived here that morning to personally inspect and bless the small team of pioneers who were here then and all our equipment and these premises. Bhagwan also sat right here in this studio from where I'm hosting this live show. The blessed chair that he occupied is what I'm looking at right now. Bhagwan sat here for a while and he spoke for a while, advising Professor G. Venkatraman and the originally small Radio Sai team that was here then. They included our current colleagues, Brother Prakash Bharatkar, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash, Brother Sunil Kumar, and the planetarium boy, as Bhagwan has always called him, Brother Harinanda Kumar. Incidentally, I will play this planetarium boy, Harinanda Kumar's in-house fleeting moments interview for you later on the show today. Apart from these pioneers, Brother Mohan and Brother Arun were also part of the Radio Sai team then and were present on the occasion as was Mr. Gopal Srinivasan, the person instrumental in setting up Radio Sai's state-of-the-art studio. Select members of the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Trust were also present. Bhagwan spoke to this group of less than 12 or 15 very lucky people on the role that Radio Sai ought to play. Dear listeners, to mark that day and to offer our gratitude for the divine visit that charged, or rather should I say drenched, this entire workplace of ours with His love and grace, we're going to offer you a very special Thursday Live today all day long. In fact, you would have noticed we played for you a clip from one of our listeners, Ms. Aarti Krishnan of Chennai, and all day long our listeners have sent us these audio clips of what Radio Sai means to them, and we will play these clips for you all the way from morning till night tonight, because Radio Sai is all about our listeners and they should have a voice on what happens here, and it's very nice to share what Radio Sai means to them. It's just one of our ways of being grateful for Bhagwan's visit, which has made Radio Sai such a magical place to come to work. Every single day we enjoy what we do and get such a high from being His instruments. It's all bliss and fun and delight to be part of this team, and no one here feels like they're working on a job or something. All we do is have a real divine blast doing what we do. It's non-stop satsang here, and the divine presence and energy is so palpable that for us, the studio feels like home and mandir both rolled into one. So, dear brothers and sisters, as you can imagine, there are so many reasons why Thursday Live Anniversary Special is so special today. Reason number one, of course, as I told you, we are celebrating the 12th anniversary of Bhagwan's visit. That is the day when the Purna Avatar visited and blessed our studio 12 years ago. And He spoke to us on our role ahead, and today in hindsight, every single word that Baba spoke has come to fruition. I urge you to be on the lookout for that special video of Baba's visit to Radio Sai, which will be posted on our homepage soon. Reason number two. Tomorrow is Ganesh Chaturthi, a very holy day when we worship Lord Ganesha, the remover of all obstacles, negativity and confusion in our life. And don't we all need a friend who can do this for us? It's rather interesting that in the Sai system of education, Lord Ganesha has come to be the dearest friend of Baba's students. Shortly, you will know why. Reason number three. The very first issue of Radio Sai's e-journal, Heart to Heart, began on Ganesh Chaturthi on August 31st, 2003. So on that Om Ganeshaya Namaha note, let us begin by laying out the menu I will be serving for your spiritual appeasement this morning. My colleague, Brother Bishu Prishti, has recorded two amazing Ganesha My Best Buddy interviews with Swami's high school students. And incidentally, these are the same children of the Divine School in Prashanti that has consistently made it to the list of India's best schools in terms of academic excellence. These children will share with you how Lord Ganesha has come to become their confidant and counselor. And what better way to celebrate this special day than by debuting an in-house Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview with a member of Team Radio Sai who was here in person 12 years ago when Baba visited the studio on August 29, 2002. And he continues to serve his mission with unflinching faith and one-pointed dedication. My brother and my colleague, Mr. Hari Nandakumar's Fleeting Moment interview is a combination of spiritual humility and scientific precision, and it flows gracefully enough to leave behind much to digest and internalize. You absolutely must not miss it. With that, let's begin with this small incident that Professor G. Venkatraman shared in the very first episode of Heart to Heart 11 years ago, and I quote him. Who is this Ganesha and why is he so important? Swami reminds us that Ganesha is Vinayaka. Vinayaka equals V plus Nayaka. Nayaka means the leader, and Vinayaka means one who has no leader above him. Who is that? God, of course. Hence, when one worships Vinayaka, it simply means that one is worshipping God. Fine. In that case, why did not ancient Indians simply say, listen, before you do anything, think of God and pray to Him? Why did they make a big issue of asking that prayers be especially addressed to an elephant god? Ah, All that is matter of psychology. Humans are generally like sheep. They follow very well something drilled into them, but mostly fail to follow something that is explained with logic, argument, and so forth. Knowing this, ancient Indians said, "You shall worship Vinayaka before you start any good work. He will confer his grace and make your activity fruitful." Professor G. Venkatraman goes on to share this experience with us in the same article, and he says, "Many years ago, I was one morning waiting in the mandir to make a small prayer about something to Swami and get his approval. Swami had gone in for the morning session of the interviews and I waited near his door on the upper veranda. After the interview was over, Swami came out, and when all devotees trooped out of the room, he wiped his forehead and went to the lower veranda to talk to someone there. After about a minute or so, he came back saying, 'No buddhi,' meaning no intelligence. He then saw me and said, 'You too, no buddhi.' I smiled and replied, 'Yes, Bhagwan, that's sadly true. So please give me buddhi or intelligence and along with it also siddhi or purity.' Siddhi and buddhi, that is purity and intelligence, some of you may know, are the two things one prays to Ganesha for, since he is supposed to be the custodian of these two treasures. Swami looked at me and said, 'Buddhi and Siddhi? Why ask me? Ask Ganesha. See, I don't have any trunk.' So saying, Swami curled his arm to make it look like a trunk. I wouldn't give in, and I replied, 'But Swami, are you not Vinayaka?' Swami smiled and did not say anything. In a matter of speaking, I had the last word." Unquote. Those were the words of Professor G. Venkatraman, the head of Team Radio Sai, right after Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, of course, who happens to be the executive producer, director, and human resources manager around here. And Bhagwan is also the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. With that, I'm now pleased to play for you an interview that my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti, recorded in the hostel of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School with three Sai students, Shrujan, Arvind and Satya Prasad, in which they offer glimpses of their relationship with their buddy, Lord G, who happens to be their confidant and counselor. Please enjoy.
So, Sai Ram, Shrujan, and it's really lovely to be in the school hostel and speaking to you, and you are someone, as your teacher tells me, who has great love for this fascinating form of Lord Ganesha. So, I want to know about your relationship with this sweet Lord.
I just feel Ganesha is my friend. And for me, is everything. Because any problem which I have, the only person whom I feel free to share it with Ganesha. Anything I have, I'll just go stand in front of Ganesha and tell it, and I feel I'm relieved.
And have you ever felt that when you extended your hand of friendship to Ganesha, has he accepted that and has he reciprocated that?
Yeah, always, because any problem which I share with the Lord, I feel it's answered.
Can you give me some occasions when you really felt that, yeah, this is the kind of friend that I wanted, and he is the one who's really living up to being my best friend?
It happened that the day I had received my marks and as a really pathetic state because I didn't score well. I didn't know what to do. I just went and stood in front of him. And it was like every time when I go and stand in front of the Lord, the face always gives me a different answer. On that day, what I looked at Ganesha, I don't know, but I felt so soothing, and I was just out of all that, and I became happy again. That's the kind of friend which I always want.
So someone who, whenever you go to, will anyway, in whichever state you are in, he will ensure that you return happy.
Yeah.
You can tell him anything,
yeah,
and he will ensure that he takes it upon and he'll extend your hand of friendship.
Yeah.
So tell me, how did this relationship strengthen over the years, and you are someone who has been a student of Bhagwan's school for 11 years now, right?
Yeah.
You've had the chance to study from the primary school. So can you recall when all this started? When you started feeling that, you know, why not have Ganesha as my friend and not anyone else?
In my 8th standard, along with many other boys, I joined the group which performs daily puja and festival decoration to Ganesha. And doing that itself, I became closer to Ganesha.
Why Ganesha? Why not Krishna? What's wrong with Krishna? Krishna also looks beautiful and fascinating.
God is one, but it happened that I joined there also.
Yeah, just like you just like to wear a particular shirt.
It's God's will, whatever it is.
Okay. But every day now, when you look at Ganesha, what is it that you feel like communicating to him?
Whatever happened that day, I just feel like telling him.
And if someone were to tell you, Srijan, you have had such a long and deep and intense relationship with Ganesha, tell me something about Ganesha that I don't know and you know. Something that you have experienced and I have not. Something that your heart feels and I have not. And through you, maybe I will also feel that.
I feel indebted to the Lord because He saved my life recently.
Mm-hmm. So what is that story?
On Krishnashtami day, all the boys had gone for a pot breaking ceremony, but some lights work was left in the part of the decoration, so I stayed back and I was doing that. And there's an aluminium ladder about 8 feet. I was standing on that and I was tying a light. And there was one boy actually who was supposed to be catching the ladder. And he had gone inside to get the next light. So suddenly the ladder shook and I fell down. When I was almost flat, horizontal to the ground.
So I fell 8 feet down.
Yeah, from eight feet.
When
I was almost horizontal, I realized that just under my head was the edge of the platform. So if I had fallen down from such a height, surely it would be fatal and I just thought I was going to be dead. And I closed my eyes. When suddenly I stopped in mid-air and I felt something under my stomach. And it was hard and soft. So I looked down and saw that the soft object was Ganesha's hand. And the ankusha which he holds was the hard thing. The hand had extended out from the statue and had caught me under my stomach.
Wow.
And then slowly the hand lifted me up, put me back on the top of the ladder.
You went back to the top?
Ganesha lifted me up, put me back on the ladder from where I was, and then the hand went back. And
when you saw all this or...
Yeah, I saw all this.
You saw all this?
Yeah. And the next day I realized that the mark of the ankusha was there on my stomach. Still that imprint was there. The shape of the ankusha. And at the joint part of the hand of Ganesha, the hand which extended out, even till today, a big crack is there. It was not there before. Only from that day it's there.
In the statue?
Yeah.
Which is the statue?
The Ganesha in front of our school.
Oh my God. The Ganesha which has been there for so many years, right?
Yeah.
Big one.
Yeah.
Where so many offer worship every day. I think no one in the school begins his classes without offering pranam to that Ganesha.
Yeah, that's true.
But you have experienced that Ganesha in a manner like no one perhaps has experienced.
Yeah, it should be. And not only that Ganesha, even in the Ganesha in front of our hostel, I had a very wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was in my 9th standard. It was on the 3rd of January. So every festival, we decorate Ganesha. And we had decorated Ganesha for New Year. And that year, it was a really heavy decoration. So on the 3rd of January, I had spent the whole day just removing the decoration. And still it was not over. So even after the night prayers, I continued removing. And It was late in the night. I was very tired. I was arranging back all the decoration into the cupboard, when suddenly, by mistake, a pile of Ganesha's dhotis fell down. And even though it was late in the night and I was very tired, I didn't feel like leaving it. So I began folding back all the dhotis and putting it back into the cupboard, when suddenly I found fragrant vibhuti on the dhotis. And to my further astonishment, in every fold of every dhoti, of every pile, there was vibhuti.
Wow.
Full vibhuti. You just open the fold, it's there. You open once again, it's there. It was filled with vibhuti. We almost got a vessel full of vibhuti.
And this happened in January, which year, you said?
In my 9th standard. Now I'm in my 11th, so it was 3 years back. 2012.
So in so many ways you've been feeling his presence, right? And, yeah. And I think this is what has confirmed your love for him over the years.
It has strengthened my friendship with him.
Yeah. It is not just love, it's a very sweet friendship.
Yeah.
And how would you like to take your Ganesha with you wherever you go?
He's always there in my heart.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you very much, Srijan.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, brothers, so all three of you have been so diligently and devotedly looking after the shrine of Ganesha in the hostel, Satyaprasad, Arvind and Satyam. So what I want to know from you is, what is it that propels you to go out and every day ensure that your Ganesha looks neat and tidy and beautiful and loving?
According to me, sir, how every day we take bath, how we try to keep ourselves fresh and neat, why can't we put the same feeling for our Lord deity, for our Ganesha? If you consider him as our friend, you consider him as a Vignokiharta, one who is taking away all our troubles or our problems, then and from that point of view, we are also, we should pay him something at least. We cannot pay anything to God, but as our self-respect only, can we put something for Ganesha? You see many idols everywhere around. There will be big idols, but there is nobody to take care of them. They are dusty. They are having cobwebs around them. So, when it comes to experience, we tell others about Swami, about Ganesha. But at the same time, it is our responsibility to clean it, to make it. So, because whenever somebody comes for praying, he should feel that spirituality and divinity around it. So that is why we all make sure that our Ganesha is worshipped every day, it is cleaned every day, so that each and every time the environment around it becomes more and more fresh and more serene.
Beautiful. And what you said is very, very profound, in the sense that when the Lord takes so much pains to make our lives better, our lives comfortable, should we not take that much of so-called trouble to ensure that, you know, his place also looks neat? I think, and if you think about it, if the Lord even for a moment at any point in time thought that, you know, okay, now this person has a problem, maybe I can wait, you know, even if the Lord had waited for a second, like what Srijan said, even if the Lord had waited for 2 seconds, maybe the situation would have been different. He never waits when he has to do something for us. And so that way, how much more eager we should be to do something. And it's very wonderful that you have such a perspective. So how is it for you, Arvind, always spending time decorating Ganesha and looking after Ganesha?
For me, Ganesha is my best friend, whom I had been worshipping from last year. And last year when I joined, I was so scared about all these things. I was so scared whether I'll be able to cope up with all these different activities in Swami's institution. And I was so scared. In first year also, I could not perform well. I got some 9th rank. But in board exam and previous exams, I got very good marks in other schools. So I was so dejected. I felt I could not do it. But after that first duty, I joined in Pujari group and I started performing puja every day. Whatever difficulties I have, I started sharing with him. And I felt that I don't need to have any shadow of doubt that Ganesha won't help me. And he helped me in my every exam. So from that second duty till now, I was always getting first rank in every duty. And I feel Ganesha is the one who helped me and who brought me up.
So you've been getting first rank in every unit test in 12th class?
Yes, sir. In 12th, and from first UT I got 9th rank, and from second UT till now I was getting in first rank.
This is in 11th class or 12th class?
12th
class. So in 11th you did not, you was not there in the Pujari group?
In 11th, first UT I was not there, sir.
First unit test you were not there. So that is after a few months, which is, okay.
And from second UT I was in Pujari group, and from second UT till now I got first rank.
You always got first rank. So every time you get first rank, you know that you have to go back to Ganesha and thank him.
And on the day of exam, every day I go to Ganesha and pray him and tell him to help me and guide me in the exam. I always feel confidence by praying him that he'll definitely help me and bring me up.
So perhaps you don't need any other visible proof, right, of what he means to you and what he can do for you. So do you also look up to him only for your academic excellence, or is there something else that he also graces you with?
No, sir. I share with him all my difficulties, all my problems or anything. Like last year, I was asked to speak in assembly. That time, I was a new student, so I thought whether I'll be able to speak well or not. That day morning, I went to Ganesha and just fell before him. Ganesha, today I should speak in assembly, so you only should guide me and make me speak better. And just after that, I got many ideas to speak in assembly, and he helped me very much so that I could speak very well. So I share with maybe any problem of my family even, and in home also I perform puja for every Ganesh Chaturthi. He also every day I perform puja for him.
Wow. That's phenomenal. The way he loves to reward us for the little effort that we make to do something, right? All he wants is, actually, you come to me with your problems. No, all he wants is that you go to him with what all that is not so nice with you. I mean, your worries and your problems, and he loves to fill you with happiness. In fact, this is what Swami told to one boy whom Swami had given a golden Ganesha. He told Swami, what puja should I do? You are giving me this Ganesha. Swami said, you don't have to do any puja. Just show these Ganesha to people and give happiness. When I hear you, that is what comes to me. That, you know, every time you go to him, all he does is he fills you with happiness. Thank you very much, Arvind. And Satya Prasad, so tell me of your trust with Ganesha.
Frankly, before joining the school, I was so notorious, which was not expected in Swami school. Before I joined Pujari department, that was continuing. But when I joined Pujari department, I committed myself that because I was in Pujari department and it was not expected in Swami school, I wanted to change myself. I'm an only son to my parents. So I changed the perspective. I just wanted to treat Ganesha as my brother. Why can't I? And I started treating him as my brother. So I wanted to share everything with him. So I used to share, because keeping academics aside, I know that he helped me in academics. He helped me in academics, but in my 11th class, I was praying him because my mother was worried about my studies. So I was praying him continuously, means give me some reasonable rank. Means I was touching third rank and getting fifth, third to fifth, third during there. But when I consider my annual performance, average, everything, for the year he made me the second ranker. But I thought, why only academics, brother? Ganesha, why only academics? Let me change myself. Let me turn be more serene and divine. So I wanted to share. I fell at his feet and I started praying him, I started talking with him, I started treating him as my brother, own brother, I started sharing everything. So I could see some phenomenal change in my behavior. So I started something like, if others suggest me something, I used to just neglect it because I used to think that I am correct. Why? And after coming into Ganesha's fold and my brother's fold, I can see change in myself that I have improved a lot. Then this improvement was seen by my mother. She told I was improved. She could see one great change in me after joining in Swami's institution. I thank Ganesha for this behavior. Means this, I can't get any relationship outside, but Ganesha here made it possible to change my behavior so that my parents are happy.
The reason why you joined the Pujari department is you wanted to bring a change in your character. Because you joined the Pujari department, you had to worship Lord Ganesha, and that is when things started happening. So there was a pure intent that you want to change yourself. And once you had that pure intent, you know, the Lord only facilitated it. Since you considered Him as your own, He also started considering you as His own. So what is it, now that you said He has brought so many changes in your life, one thing you told me that, you know, earlier you would not be willing to listen to someone else's opinion or be open to someone else's idea, but now you are much more patient, much more accommodative. Is there any other way you have seen your life change after you have been spending this time with Ganesha and considering Him as your own?
Before I joined Pujari department, I used to get tensed for every exam. The tension was so high that some exam before some exams I used to take some paracetamol tablets.
Oh my God.
So after treating Ganesha as my brother, means I just wanted to try. I didn't take paracetamol for that exam. I just fell at Ganesha's feet and told, I dedicate this exam to you. I surrender this to you. Brother, please help me. And he helped me from that exam. I stopped off taking paracetamol. Means in the sense that I surrendered. We both will write exam together. He'll be prompting me if I'm not getting any answer. I used to feel, when I look at his fate, I used to, that feel used to generate that he is there for me. If I can't help myself, Ganesha is there for me. I may muff, but I dedicate all my efforts. See, people may see my results, but my Ganesha will see my efforts. I'll put my full efforts. It doesn't matter that people may see my rank and judge me, but it matters to me that my Ganesha will judge me with my efforts. So I'll put my hard efforts, and I'll see after not taking this PCM and putting all my efforts, Ganesha helped me a lot, because after something like second term, I stopped off using PCM before exams. So I could see a gradual improvement in everything, in my behavior, in my studies, in everything.
Wow, that's phenomenal. The way your life has changed, and I can see that is so obvious from your smile. It is so evident about. And as I think about it, I think Ganesha in school will have a very tough time, because everybody is fighting for first rank and second rank, and Ganesha will be hard pressed to how to please everyone to get a first rank.
Once you commit yourself to Ganesha, and means once I thought he's my brother, and once I made promises that I'll behave properly, and your heart will not tend towards bad things, as he's my brother, he's every time with me, and I can't tend to do bad things. So thus, you'll continuously strike that he's your brother, and that feeling will generate, and it makes your character pure, means you'll make it pure.
Yes, that whole thing of having him in your life, consciously, subconsciously, ensures that you tend to do good. You are always more on the side of trying to do only those things which will make you closer to him, which will not take you far from him, right? And you feel so obliged to him, because everything, you see your life has changed so much. Wonderful. It's really beautiful, really, listening to the way Ganesha has entered your life and transformed you and continues to transform you. If someone, when you go home and, you know, you're from Kakinada, right? And you meet your own erstwhile friends before you join here, and if you start talking about Ganesha as a brother and all that, they'll say, are you crazy? I mean, Ganesha is a god, man. He's a statue. What's wrong with you? You're calling me your brother, and what is all this going on? What will you like to say to your old friends?
See, they may think that I'm thinking in a different way, in different perspective, but it matters to me that, means I am considering him as my brother. So it is important to my life that I'll change my character, so they can see gradual change in my character. And when I say that I am treating Ganesha as my brother, they can see the old Prasad and new Prasad. They can see the change. So that change can give some sense that they can also change by taking Ganesha in their lives, involving Ganesha in their daily activities, sharing their thoughts with Ganesha. So that change, the character change can give them a thought that they can also involve Ganesha in their life.
Wow, so it is, as you're saying, it's not the words, but it is your acts and your deeds which will do the talking. And that is enough explanation for what Ganesha means to you and what he can mean to them. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Radio Sai. You just heard three students, Srujan, Arvind and Satyaprasad from Swami's High School, explore their relationship with Lord Ganesha, and how sweet was that. As you know, tomorrow is Ganesh Chaturthi and the 12th anniversary of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's divine visit to the Radio Sai Studios, which happened on August the 29th, 2002. So in honor of that, these two special occasions, I have lined up another Lord Ganesha treat for you. And this is in form of yet another interview that my colleague, Brother Bishop Prushti, has conducted in the Sai School Hostel with Mr. Malikeshwaran. And I know you're going to love it. Please enjoy. And this, of course, will be followed by the in-house Fleeting Moments interview that I'm going to debut on Morning Glory this morning with my colleague, Brother Hari Nandakumar.
Sairam, Brother Malikeshwaran, and it is really Bhagavan's grace that I am here in the school hostel and I am talking to you, because I have heard so much of the wonderful times that you have had with Bhagavan way back in the 1970s. You belong to one of those early batches of students who had the privilege of enjoying the divine proximity, especially in those times when the institute was in its nascent stage and Bhagavan gave so much of his time to the boys. And after that you had the chance also to work as a teacher for some time. By divine design you had to go out of this place, but again by his grace you are back after 10 years. And one of the most important activities that you took up, which was such a heartening sight and a very welcome endeavor, which you did every morning, was the way you adored and worshipped and took care of the Ganesha, which is in front of the school hostel. And that is a sight which I also have seen many times, and I used to always feel a great sense of happiness the way you went about worshipping and the way you went about ensuring that Ganesha gets as much as attention as every other person in the hostel. And so tell me about how did this happen? How did you develop that much of affinity to Lord Ganesha, and what prompted you to start this service, and what sort of an experience has it been for you since then?
Swami often says that without a sankalpa, no one can think of him. And he had given such a wonderful experience, clearly proving that without a sankalpa, no one can think of him. So he had willed to have done. From my side, I don't know, suddenly one day that inspiration he had given that I should worship him. The most beautiful thing is I have started with school Ganesha. And suddenly one day I had developed an immense desire to do the same type of puja what I used to do for the school Ganesha, to the senior boys hostel Ganesha. So as the thought had come, I saw both the wardens standing near Ganesha and then talking, and the warden of the senior boys hostel told me, just because your son is studying in this hostel you are doing puja, why don't you do puja in my hostel also? That's how Ganesha pulled me there also. Then from that it went to college. Why I am telling is, I used to worship about 4 Ganeshas from morning to alankara and all those things. And one such day that we took photographs of all Ganesha, there are totally 6 Ganeshas. I used to worship 4, and other 2 Ganeshas being cement Ganesha, I just used to light lamp in front of school Ganesha. And there is one more Ganesha just in front of the auditorium. We never used to do anything to that.
So these 4 Ganeshas are in the hostels and in the college.
College. And one more Ganesha, the huge Ganesha, in thing we used to light lamp, that's all, nothing else. So only one Ganesha was left in front of auditorium. It is Nardana, beautiful Nardana Ganesha, where we never used to do anything. All these photographs were shown to Swami by one of our students. So we have taken one photograph of even that Nardana Ganesha and then had kept it in the album. Swami was seeing each and every photo. And when it came to Nardana Ganapati, he said, Ayyo Papam, evaru pooja cheyaledhe.
Oh, he said that.
He said that.
No one is doing worship to this Ganesha.
He didn't say that no one is. He came cheyaledhe. Meaning nothing is done to this. Ayyo Papam. This is the word he uttered. See, other two Ganeshas, the main Ganeshas of college, and opposite to library building, there is humanity buildings, there is one more beautiful Ganesha. So all that we used to worship, even for school Ganesha, we used to light a lamp. That Ganesha, why we didn't do any puja is being painted when we pour water and other things, no, it will go. So from that day, we have started lighting lamp. That is one of the nice experiences that, no, Swami knows everything and that's how he acknowledges that, no, I am seeing everything, I am watching everything. I just wanted to share one more wonderful experience. One of our old students who is very closely associated with trust and other things as an auditor, I think his name is Mr. Raghunandan, you must be knowing. He had a wonderful dream. The dream goes like this. Three boys always used to stand in front of our Mandir Ganesha, the main Ganesha.
You are referring to the Ganesha in the
Mandir.
Prashantinilaya Mandir.
Prashantinilaya Mandir.
The one who invites all the people into the ashram.
To the ashram. Three boys, myself, Raghunandan and one more boy. We will be always standing there in his dream. Swami's car will be passing daily and Swami will only laugh at me and smile at me. That was his dream. So one day he just, during that dream, he could not control his curiosity and then asked Swami directly, Swami, why are you looking at him only and then smiling? I believe Swami told him that the sloka which he chants during the puja, he loved it very much. So that is the reason why I am smiling at him. See, what I do, I don't know Sanskrit. And in my personal opinion, unless and until you enjoy, there is no use. Ritual chanting somehow I am not for. So I had taken quite a few lines from Lalita Sahasrarama, which I felt very close to my heart. And for me, Swami is everything. And I treat Ganesha as Swami's own son because I see Swami as Lord Shiva and Shakti himself, as Swami himself had told. So the sloka goes like this in Tamil. Those who can want to learn this, they can do. That is the reason I am telling. I always say Sarva Devata Adhita Swarupa Sri Satchitananda Murti. Few Sanskrit things are also for which I know the meaning. Avyaja Karuna Murti. See, the meaning of Avyaja Karuna Murti is he is the one who doesn't see any reason to shower his grace. So I tell all these things and then tell to that Satya Sai Suputra Jnana Ganesha. That's what I chant. One Ganesha I have kept. My hostel Ganesha is called Jnana Ganesha for me. This school Ganesha is the most beautiful child Ganesha for me. So only that word will change. It is Satya Sai Suputra Jnana Ganesha, Satya Sai Suputra Priya Ganesha, something like that. So I chant that and then that's how I used to do the, see in our Shastra what we do, we chant Mamo Patra Samastha Duridakshaitvara. For any process there is something, Sankalpa you have to make. So when I wash him, when I give him bath, I'll tell all these things, Sarvadevadadi is a Swarupa, Satya Sai Suputra Jnana Ganesha Snanam Samarpayami.
I offer this
Vastram Samarpayami, Pushpam Samarpayami, Dupam. But all these things, my prayer is only that. So anything I do, we have to do Sankalpa, that's what we have been told. So I do Sankalpa with chanting this. So Swami had acknowledged that, what more I require. And now I personally feel so happy when so many of the boys, see college, and now I am not doing any Ganesha Puja at all. But I am always happy because institute boys are doing. Each and every Ganesha, they actually fight in institute. I'll take this Ganesha, I'll take that Ganesha. That gives me even satisfaction. See, that's all. It is meant for spreading the glory of Lord Ganesha. And I am the most contented man by seeing them so devotedly, this boy Sujan, all these people. I do only give them Chandana, Kumkum, which we get original things from Chennai, but further nothing else. But whenever they do puja, I feel so happy. But my relationship with Ganesha as such is, of course, for me, everything as I told is Swami. But whenever I go, I just talk to him. Any Ganesha, for that matter. If when I cross school, I just pray. He always responds, telling that my elder son who studied here was not very bright in his studies. So, immediately after examination, he'll come and tell, Appa, this is doubtful. Something like that he'll say. So, I'll just tell Ganesha. But Ganesha immediately gives an assurance, telling that he'll get 6.1 this time. He'll get 5.9. He'll get 6.5. And so far, whatever Ganesha had told only had happened.
That you can really get an answer from him.
Yes, he'll tell. 6.2, I'll tell Swami to give you. See, that is a beautiful relationship. He himself can directly tell me that I'll tell you. I'm giving 6.2. You won't tell like that to me. I'll tell Swami, I'll recommend Swami, Swami will give you 6.2. For me, as I say, Satya Sai Suputra Jnana Ganesha.
You also had him, that sort of a relationship. You always thought of him as a darling son of Satya.
Satya Sai. Even today, Ganesha Sharanam Paramapavanam Satya Sainam Gajananam, they say. But I never chant during bhajan like that. Ganesha Sharanam Paramapavanam Satya Sai Putram Gajananam. Anything. See, that gives one more immense satisfaction to us that no, we are consciously singing bhajan. It is not simply like that. So that Ganesha helps me in that. For me, he is the putra of Satya Sai. And he always tells, I'll recommend. Though Swami physically doesn't like recommendation, but in divine way, I think, though I worship Ganesha as his son, I know there is no difference between father and son. Yes. That is different. It's all our own perceptions.
Yes.
So in that way, I enjoy.
Well, you relate to me in a particular manner, and the Lord also relates to you in the same manner.
Idbhavam tadbhavati. That's all. I have seen this with Swami so beautifully. You also would have seen Swami. When Swami talks of Radha, he becomes Radha. Avatar becomes human, Radha. Of course, we cannot call Radha as a human being, but still, pakka, if you observe Swami very clearly, yadbhavam tadbhavati, you can see very clearly, he becomes that part. He becomes that part. If he acts, he'll be in that mode. If he talks something about a devotee, he becomes a devotee. That is the reason why when he talks of Surdasal, sometimes it becomes so emotional. He becomes one. That is the glory of God.
Absolutely. Nothing, it's so beautiful. I mean, just as you have this unique relationship of treating him as the son of Swami, and all these, interestingly, you know, one of these school children, he treats him as his brother.
Yeah.
We are all Swami's children, and he treats him as his brother. And you have another who treats him as his friend. So, you know, it's so interesting that all of us, at least the few people that we've interacted, everyone treats him as someone that you can relate to as a child of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's been responding in that manner.
Yeah, yeah. See, the most beautiful thing with Swami is only that. I never saw both my grandfathers. That is from mother side and father side. So when I joined in 1976, I treated Swami as my grandfather, believe me. And he responded. But slowly from grandfather, it went to mother, it went to father. I have experienced all those things. And each and every time, whatever way in which I had seen him, Swami beautifully says he is just like a mirror. You come and stand in front of it and then do any action, you will get the reflection. That is too perfect in my this thing. He was my friend, fine. But he is everything to me, and I had experienced all that love from my grandfather love. To see, grandfather is always biased towards grandchildren, their own children. Swami had done that. So he does it. He is just a mirror. You just go and dance in front of him, you will see your Pradibibba or whatever it is.
Yeah, reflection. Wow, wonderful. I think we really need to capture all these instances where you have related to Bhagwan in a particular manner and he has responded. And just like, you know, it really reminds me of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who used to relate to God in different ways. And he had such powerful experiences. Now, he related to God as Jesus. He related to God
as Amchinaya, a tail grew. That's what they say.
They say. Yes. So, and I think it's a common experience for every devotee.
So, even, see, that shows the love of God. He doesn't see a difference between a Amsavatara and then an ordinary subhuman. There are so many things that I might have done which might have made me subhuman, but still, that's only I personally see as thousand mothers love or infinity mother of love from Swami. There were so many occasions when I went and told him physically, directly, that this is the mistake that I have done. Not even once did I get a scolding. He always used to be compassionate, used to pat and then say, hey, don't worry, all these things will happen. Tell me, always tell me, don't worry, I am there with you. The worst thought I have told him, the best thought I have told him. But for both, the reaction is same. Ah, manchidi, good thoughts, itle undali. Swami, itla chedda thought tochindi. Ponle, yemi, it'll come. I myself will give you all those thoughts. Don't worry, I am there with you. That is 10,000 mothers' love. If I go and tell my mother, I thought like this, she might hit me. My father may say, get out. But here is so loving and telling, don't worry, I am there with you. Atle ustundra, enduku badapadtavu. Who can console us like that? That gives so much of us. Swami chusukuntam. He'll say always. That nobody can do.
Wow.
When I spoke to my senior boys also, I was telling only that. See, Swami is the one who knows what the things that you are going to do. Swami physically knew that I am going to go out from him on my own. It is not that Swami is in me. I wanted to go out to the world, I went. He knew. And 3 years back itself he had told that I will be going. That also he had said. But the amount of love, the amount of affection, the amount of grace that he showered when I was here, okay, when I left him also, physical Lord is different and the divine Lord is totally different. The love, the protection, each and every second standing next to me and then telling, this is what going to happen, don't worry, I am with you. I think it is only him, that pure love. Unless until you have that love, I don't think, if somebody is ditching me, surely I'll never think of him. One or two fellows have cheated me, even today I curse, though immediately I realize, no, see, Swami had taught a wonderful lesson, let's not curse. Maybe that is our evaluation, but that is natural to Bhagavan because he is full of love and compassion.
Wow. And I think what you mentioned, that you can share with Ganesha anything, share with the Lord anything, and you know, he will only in return ensure that he gives you with happiness, and that is what so many of the children in the hostel have experienced.
In fact, the one set of old boys, when they left, see, I used to take care of all the sick boys in senior boys hostel. We have got a DDS.
Dietary service.
One of the most beautiful photographs that was given to me, in the last line says, if you walk with me, you will find that there is no problem at all. See, problems will be there for everybody, whether you are a devotee or non-devotee. But the difference between a person who has come into Swami's fold, facing a problem, and others is only this. He knows problem will be there, but along with the problem, you have the Lord with you to console you. In fact, as Kunti Devi prayed, though I won't pray, please Lord, give me continuously only problem. Without problem, make me think. That's what I'll pray. But there is a difference. See, any problem, you take it very boldly. That is, not you take it, he ensures that you take it very boldly and know it goes smoothly. And in fact, those were the moments when you could really feel his presence and then tell, don't worry, I'm there with you. That gives immense satisfaction. At least, see, living outside is not a joke. Here, you are in a very close, well-protected environment. Outside, there are so many types of people who will be always trying to put you down and, you know, in spite of you trying to be honest, there were people who will be always putting so much pressure on you and you will have bitter experience. I have faced all those things. But each and every second, I could feel his presence by his grace. Not that I am great thinking of Swami always like that. He ensured. The most wonderful experience, I just wanted to share that, it is related to Swami Vandali. My father used to smoke about 100 cigarettes per day. So one day when I was in Vrindavan, I just wrote a letter and then gave it to Swami. I'll just make this narration very short. I don't want to make it very lengthy, maybe because of lack of time. So I just wrote a letter and then gave it to him. The next day I saw my father in Vrindavan. In addition to smoking cigarettes, he used to play gambling, the cards, and wherever horse races used to go, he used to go for all those things. But I have not mentioned anything to Swami about this, but I just told him about the cigarette. Swami always says, without my sankalpa, no one can come. My father never had a plan to come to Vrindavan. It was a Tuesday, I had given a letter. Wednesday morning, my father was in Vrindavan. That time, people were, that is, parents were permitted to stand near the entrance. It was old Vrindavan, not Thrayi Vrindavan. So he was just standing and Swami came out. Swami physically knew that he was my father because quite a few times he had spoken to him. He just went close to him and then said, when did you come? In a very harsh tone. He said, Swami, today only. Then he took 2 steps and then came back. The most profound statement of Bhagavan in my life is this. He said, see, if you smoke cigarette again, if you go to race again, if you play cards again, about which I have not mentioned at all, I will not see you, I will not let you see me. Without Swami Sankalpa, no one can see him. I will not talk to you, I will not let you talk to me. Why? I will ensure that you don't even think of me, which you and me cannot do.
Wow.
You cannot just go and tell somebody, Pushti, I will ensure from today that you will not think of me. You will be thinking of me only. But here the Lord says this. If you do all these things, I will ensure that you will not even think of me. Such a profound statement.
Wow.
And how he saved us, another story. My father till his death just could not bear the smell of tobacco after this incident.
Oh my God.
Energy.
Wow.
It's profound. Some other time I think I can
make it.
So problem, it's there.
Yes.
But there is a solution always. And even if the solution doesn't come today, I don't bother nowadays. Because I know when the time comes, he'll take care. But that constant assurance that I'm with you, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. That is there. That will, I think it will continue till I go to Chitravati.
Wonderful. I mean, it's really His grace that we are able to think of Him. I mean, that is such a profound thing. And even the very fact that we are even now in 11:30 in the night sitting in the school hostel and talking about Him, it is, and thinking about Him, it is completely His grace.
His grace. When my own brother challenged in front of Swami's photo that I'll ensure that I'll have your darshan, he could not have His darshan. He could not have His darshan. So unless He will, I think that's what I tell all the boys whomever I meet. Out of crores of people, those who are living, only few million know about Bhagwan physically. And this beautiful, wonderful form. Out of them, how many people could come and see Him because of their own problems? Many people, in spite of knowing that He is Divine Lord, wouldn't have come here. We are so fortunate that we are here. We could see Him daily almost. So we should make best use of it.
Absolutely.
And that also only He has to give.
Yes, ultimately He has to bestow that grace on us. Yes. And we have to pray for it. That's all we can do. Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir. And I request that, you know, we continue this discussion some other time in the Radio Sai studios, because there is so much that you have experienced, and your experiences will make someone else's life richer and perhaps give more direction to them in their spiritual path. Thank you so much.
Sairam, dear sisters and brothers, that was an interview with Mr. Malikeshwaran, I beg your pardon, Mr. Malikeshwaran, on the vibrant Ganeshas that are so proactive in our lives here in Prashanthi Nilayam. We hope you enjoyed it, as well as the earlier interview with the young students from Swami Satyasai Higher Secondary School. As always, we will be looking forward to your feedback to these two special Ganesha interviews. And our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. And to top off this anniversary special episode of Morning Glory, I'm now absolutely delighted to play for you a brand new in-house episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. And since time is of essence today and every RG on Thursday Live has something really special lined up, I now bid you Sairam till next Thursday, but I urge you to please stay with us to enjoy this exclusive interview, which I promise you're going to love. Happy listening and Sairam. Sairam, dear listeners, it's time for Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, a series of conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's university and schools. And today's interview is special because it is an in-house episode of Fleeting Moments. Now, before I begin, I believe this interview warrants a little background, as my guest is a brother from Team Radio Sai, who's highly respected for being amongst the most systematic, efficient, disciplined, professional and organized members of our team. He's brilliant in what he does and very precise and measured in his responses, not to mention that he marches to his own inner drummer. He's a perfectionist behind the four walls of his office, and he likes to stay right there in the background. Sometimes seen but rarely heard in public, he seems very happy in his own silence. That obviously makes him a very good listener and observer of human nature. And now, dear brothers and sisters, it's time for me to reveal my mystery guest to you, and he's none other than Brother Hari Nandakumar. Originally from Kerala, Hari comes from a family of medical doctors, with both his parents and his sisters being in the profession, apart from other members of his extended family, but medicine was not to be Hari's calling. Hari Nandakumar joined the Sri Satyasai Higher Secondary School, Prashanthi Nilayam, in grade 11 in the year 1990. In 1995, he was awarded the gold medal by Bhagwan Baba for graduating on top of his class in the BSc Physics Honours Program from the Brindavan campus of the Sai University.
Hari earned his second gold medal in 1997 when he topped in his master's program in physics from the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. Along with a handful of others, Hari was part of the core team that Professor G. Venkatraman formed to set up Radio Sai at Bhagwan's command in the year 2001. Having been with Radio Sai right from his inception, Hari Nandakumar has done it all, maintaining the servers, maintaining the database, audio processing, liaising with our technology partners, listeners, you name it, he's done it, while consciously staying away from the public eye. This multitasker also manages the functions of the planetarium in Prashanthi Nilayam, which is the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre. That makes him the only member of Team Radio Sai who works in the quietude of the planetarium, far from the hustle and bustle of our studios. Of course, we're all networked, and despite the physical distance, Brother Hari is only a click of a mouse away. Today, after about a year of trying to convince him, I'm glad to have him sitting across from me. Sairam Brother Hari, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Sairam Didi.
It's great to have you on this special day, actually, because I think you made me wait for over a few years to get you on the hot seat. And it just so happened that between your schedule and mine, we are doing it on a very special day. Today is Raksha Bandhan.
That's right, Didi.
So it's a special day for sisters and brothers, for siblings, and for me, it's a great honor to record your fleeting moments today, Hari. So I'm really, really delighted that you finally agreed. Let's talk about before you joined Swami's college or school, before you came very close to Swami, how did you view him? What was your impression of God?
From a very young age, my parents had become devotees. When I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, we had first come to Prashanthi Nilayam. So from that very impressionable age, the concept of Sri Satya Sai Baba as God, that was very clear to us. So from there, the reason why I applied was because it was Swami's school and so on.
And since this was an impression you carried as part of your upbringing, because the family was devoted to Swami, what was your personal equation with him? How did you view him? A loving God, a scary God, a Superman God, as a child?
As a child, my concept of God was something like, God is in his heaven and all's right with the world, something like that. So God is in Prashanthi Nilayam and we
all
are...
All is well in Kerala.
That's right. So somewhat distant. We go for the bhajans, we sit there, we pray to him. But carrying him around all the time, that sort of concept was not there. At least for me, personally.
And then in 1992, I understand, you were in Prashanthi Nilayam?
In 1990, I joined for 11th class.
11th class. But that's when your journey began. What was it like? Was there a change or transition in your understanding or conceptualization of divinity?
Very much. Bhagwan's approach, he brings us close to him and allows us to have that relationship of a friend or the closest person you have. So God is your best friend, he keeps saying that, and he demonstrates it and he makes you feel it.
In your case, how did that evolve? How did the relationship evolve so dramatically?
Probably I would say it evolved more in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is where Bhagwan is very free with the students.
So that's your undergrad years?
That's right. 92 to 95, and we were very lucky in that Bhagwan stayed in Vrindavan for extended periods of time during that period, 93 to 95. So we had lots of opportunities for the so-called Trayi sessions, where Bhagwan would have long informal sessions, something like an interview with the entire college, almost every day for months. If you spend long periods of time with someone, you learn from that person a lot and you get to know him better.
Now, before the Vrindavan years began, 2 years of high school here, grade 11 and 12, what was that like? Did you have an opportunity, knowing the kind of person you are, Hari, you're not the kind who will push his way and come to the front. You always like to lead from behind and you're one of those quiet, hardworking types. So given your nature, did you have any opportunities to interface with the Lord?
Yes, in those days, even people like me who would not push their way front, even we got lots of chances. For example, any day, every day, if we wanted, we could have Pad Namaskar because we just had to go and sit in a particular place near the railing and invariably Bhagwan would walk that way and there was only a 1 foot space for him to walk. So you had Pad Namaskar and things like that. And if you wanted to hear him speak, you could go and sit at a particular place, you could hear him. If you wanted to have Pad Namaskar, you go and sit at that place. If you wanted to attend bhajans, you go and sit in the bhajan hall. So all those options were there for us, which those days we took for granted. It is only later that all these opportunities were no longer available.
Hari, you're such a bright student, academically so bright, and I'm sure you had many options in terms of going to a professional college or school. Was the decision to study in Swami's higher secondary school yours or that of your parents or combined?
Before I applied to Swami's school, I did not even know that he had a school. I knew that he had a college because we had read the books and all that. All of them in the 70s, they used to mention Swami's college. But we didn't know that he had a school. One of our neighbors who used to go to the same samiti, they got application forms for their son and they got a spare form also. And they approached us and said, we have a form for this Bhagwan school. Would you like to apply? At that time, I did not have any specific goal in mind for my life. I was more interested in the hard sciences, not interested in biology and that sort of thing. So I thought probably I would do engineering. So I had not thought about my future much. When we got this chance of applying to Bhagwan's school, I did not believe that I would get through. Swami's school, how can I get? People from all over India apply. But we applied and I got.
I'm sure you aced, Hari. You're just being humble.
Well, I came to know later that I did. In fact, that was one of the reasons why they were reluctant to take me in. I had a 45-minute interview session.
Why? They wanted to avoid very extra bright students?
Apparently, they had some discipline issues with so-called bright people from Kerala in the earlier years. Sometimes little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. So they were not sure whether I would also turn to be somebody with horns.
You had a 45-minute interview. You had to sell your candidature to them after doing so well on the test?
I was not very good at math as compared to the other people who applied from Andhra Pradesh because the Kerala board syllabus math standard was much lower. They gave me a test. I sort of worked it out from first principles and said, if you do this, 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 you'll get the answer. But right now, I don't have the tools to do it. So I suppose they were reasonably pleased with that. It took a long time for me to figure it out. But in terms of other things, they asked about Bal Vikas, whether I know bhajans and all that. That was fine because we used to have bhajans at home every week. So that side, there was no issue.
But this decision, that was your own then, to study here?
We'll have to say that Bhagwan sent the application form. Because,
through the neighbor?
Through the neighbor. Because we had not even known about the existence of the school. And after getting into the school, when I saw the system here, within 6 months I decided that if Bhagwan allows me, I would like to spend the rest of my life here.
Oh, you must have been, what, 15 or 16 at that time?
Yeah, 16.
And you had that clarity?
Clarity in the sense, if Bhagwan allows, I would like to. And I knew that it is possible for, I was quite inspired by one of our teachers. He was an extremely bright student and gold medalist and all that. And he was a very inspiring teacher.
May I ask who?
Dr. Shailesh Srivastava.
And he's still a teacher in the school?
Currently, he is a teacher in the college.
College, I see.
So, seeing such a bright person doing a teaching job and being here, I thought maybe I can also be like a squirrel doing Rama's work. Whatever small bit I can do, I would like to do.
Now let's go back to your Vrindavan years. What are your fondest memories? You said those were the years when Bhagwan spent considerable periods of time there in Whitefield.
I was also blessed to be part of the audiovisual team. So,
because Swami had a job planned for you in Radio Sai, so he started training you quite early, as I can see.
In fact, even my school days, even in 11th and 12th, I had done a little bit of this mics business. And being part of the audiovisual team, we were privileged to be backstage, so to speak. And we would be in Bhagwan's Trayi Vrindavan compound. Before Bhagwan came out for darshan, we would be there, we would set up everything. And when he would come out, we would put on the music, the bhajans would start and so on. While we were there, occasionally Bhagwan would come inside our room where we have all these amplifiers and mixer and all that. And he would walk inside and look out through the window and things like that. Very human, very close proximity. Even though he didn't say much, he sort of conveyed that we were his. And that was a very special feeling. For example, while he was going from Vrindavan, when he would leave for Prashanthi Nilayam or Kodaikanal or wherever it is, he would call the various people who did various service there and he would give them something like prasadam, sweets. So sometimes he would call us also. On some occasion it would have been safari suits. On one occasion he dipped his hand inside a big container of son papdi. It's a sweet. And with his hands, he took it out and gave it in our hands for us to eat. Things like that.
Oh, must have tasted so divine. That's just getting it straight from the hand.
And another blessing of being in the audiovisual group was that I could be a witness to Bhagwan's interaction with various groups. At Vrindavan once, I was there when Bhagwan was speaking to a large group of Italian devotees and he corrected the Italian translator, prompted the appropriate words. And much later at Prashanthi Nilayam, during the course of around a week or 10 days, I could witness Bhagwan interacting with girl students from his university and later boy students from his university and a group of youth from one of the states of India. And it was beautiful to see how he interacted with each group in a unique way.
When you said that Swami did not speak much, but then you were in such close proximity that he managed to communicate to you that you were his, what does that do for a young person in terms of your life goals, your aspirations?
As I mentioned, Didi, that life goal or aspiration was to be with Bhagwan from much before that. So this was an added incentive, you could say. And through the various Trayi sessions, there he would speak. In the Trayi session, Bhagwan would speak and he would explain things in such simple language that anybody would be able to understand. The youngest children, sometimes there would be primary school children there. And even they could understand the high concepts which Bhagwan was speaking about. And because he told it in such a memorable way, I still recollect when somebody asks a question, I can immediately recollect the story which Bhagwan has told about that concept.
That tells you about his power as a teacher. His lessons have still stayed with you.
That's right, Didi. Through those Trayi sessions, there was a lot of closeness with Bhagwan which developed. And Bhagwan used to sing this song, Prema Rahita Marubhu Mulalo, that is, in the arid heart you have planted the seeds of love, that song. It was something like that. Having love for God, that was what he developed in those years, in me at least.
Beautiful. Now I understand not only did Bhagwan speak of these beautiful, loving, sublime and inspiring topics, there must have been times when he spoke to you boys in a stern voice about matters related to discipline.
That's true. Yes, Bhagwan would be very particular about discipline. and he would sometimes chastise us. But the more painful part would be when he would stop talking altogether. And he would say, what is the use of me talking to you? You are not following my words. That would prick everybody. And that would be probably the times at which a lot of introspection would go on and people would change for the better. Of course, when he pointed out specific things, naturally, people would try to correct themselves. That is also true. For example, towards the end of my school studies, Bhagwan paid a visit to our hostel. This was in February 1992. And he delivered a very strict message. He was very unhappy with some of the senior students. And he very bluntly told them that if they wanted to be there with Bhagwan, they would have to follow what he says. And within a few days, he also left for Vrindavan. He has gone away. So he is no longer speaking to you and so on. So that way he would reinforce what he said by not talking to you. And then a lot of introspection would take place and those who truly loved him would try to change themselves and follow what he said rather than just mouth the sentiment that they love him or whatever it is.
Hari, what exactly were the areas of discipline that were weak amongst the boys or that Swami pointed at as being a weakness amongst the boys? Would you care to share?
In those days, Bhagwan was very strict about talking. He would be very particular about maintaining silence. He would say, boys are talking too much. Then going from room to room, you were not expected to socialize. You are not expected to have discussions other than for your academics, of course, other than what is strictly required. Any other loose talk was an anathema for Bhagwan. And there were some other issues of some of the senior students going out and having food from outside and things like that, which he was very strict about. Even now, the hostel is very strict about those things.
And rightly so, because if Swami has laid those parameters and it is his school, I guess it is incumbent upon the administrators to ensure that the tradition continues.
That's right, Didi.
So, you know, we never realize the value of silence and the need to curtail excessive talk. And I guess this is in an age where there were no cell phones, nobody was on WhatsApp, Gmail, Gtalk, Facebook, constantly updating and communicating externally. And even then, Swami was so strict about
even speaking to your own
classmate without a good reason.
Without a good reason.
Mm. As you said, speak only if you what you speak is true, is pleasing and will improve upon the silence.
That's right, Didi.
So if all of us actually go through that criteria every time we intend to open our mouth, we'll all be very silent. Wow, so strict, huh? And was it hard as a young boy to take Swami being so upset and then also demonstrating the lesson by going away and being away from all of you?
For some people, it was really difficult, especially those to whom Swami had showered a lot of attention, a lot of personal attention, people to whom he would speak almost every day. For them, naturally, it was very difficult. For somebody like me in the crowd, I was not used to personal attention, so it did not hit me as hard. I thought that I would not be so upset about such things. I thought that my approach to Bhagwan was different. But later he showed me that he can make me also go through that drama. Much later, this happened in 2010. He created a situation where it appeared as if he was upset with me. That too for something which I misunderstood. I had not understood him correctly. Those days, whenever he used to come inside the bhajan hall, I would be sitting there with the audio mixer for Radio Sai, and he would either look at me or nod at me or acknowledge my presence. So after this sort of misunderstanding or annoyance or whatever, for 6 months or so, he would turn away his head very abruptly when he used to come near me. So that sort of indicated that he was upset with me. And I could not do much about it. I could write letters to him, but it apparently didn't work. So that sort of thing is very effective in causing introspection. I learned it the hard way.
6 tough months, huh?
That's true.
And then how did it resolve between the two of you?
I think it was one of those students alumni meet or something like that. He looked at me with a faint smile.
Well, intense, rigorous spiritual training, obviously. But the so-called wonderful years at Vrindavan, what else do you recall when you look back?
Those days when we used to go to Prashanthi Nilayam, we were allowed to sit in the mandir whenever we wanted. So in the afternoon times, we would be sitting opposite the veranda. And when Bhagwan would go for his lunch or meals or whatever, we would have a glimpse of him from far. If Bhagwan happened to see us, he would come near the veranda to the edge of the balcony and he would sometimes say a few words. Only some 5 or 6 of us would be there. That is one memory. Another memory is when the Malayali boys used to go for Onam, Bhagwan would sometimes give us attention. He would say, Vrindavan boys, go inside interview room. And he would give us interviews. In fact, one year he gave us 2 interviews during that Onam time.
Because Onam is a special festival for the people of Kerala, where you come from?
That's right. Those interviews were also similar to the Trai sessions. Bhagwan would give us some advice. We could have Pad Namaskar. He might sometimes give us Vibhuti packets. We would have the opportunity of giving him letters and so on. Sometimes somebody would have an opportunity to ask some questions. He would say, what is the news? And somebody would ask something and so on.
As a student, as a girl student who studied here in the late 80s, as he himself said, with ladies he was a lady, with men he was a man, with boys he was a boy. I remember you all having wonderful times, the boy students having a great time with Bhagwan during Diwali. Did you have any such opportunities to celebrate Deepavali with Swami as a student?
Yes, during my 11th and 12th, we were at Prashanthi Nilayam and Bhagwan would celebrate Deepavali with a lot of enthusiasm along with all of us. Crackers would be set up in the Prashanthi Mandir grounds itself.
Yes, and now when I think back, it seems so hard to believe. Right in front of the veranda, you all used to burst those big firecrackers.
That's right. And all the ladies would be shivering. Sometimes the rockets would go towards the ladies and they would all shriek. And once or twice, it so happened that a rocket came towards Bhagwan, but he would not even flinch. It would burst right in front of him, but he would just not bother about it. And he would give sparklers to, personally, with his own hands, he would give sparklers to the small children. He was the best friend.
Such comfort levels all of you enjoyed. I think when maybe 1,000 years from now or 100 years from now, when people hear these stories, they will find it so hard to believe that it actually happened.
Even now, Didi.
Even today, it's hard to believe this transpired, that you actually celebrated Diwali with Bhagwan. And he was handing over firecrackers and flower pots.
Flower pots.
Yeah, we call them anar in Hindi. Yes, I remember. And every time one flower pot would illuminate, Swami's form used to look so beautiful against that light. Yes, memorable days. Now, Hari, knowing what a self-negating kind of humble, quiet, behind-the-scenes person you are, I understand you actually took part in a drama. And that was presented in front of the Lord and you had a very special role in it.
That's right, Didi.
Please share that with us.
This was the Chaitanya drama, which was presented in 1993 and again in 1994, January. I was the leper whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cures.
So you had like a 3-second role or something?
It was a little longer. The pathos of the leper had to be presented. And then how he gets cured and the joy and all that. So all that had to be presented. So it was like something like a 3-minute role.
Plum role you bagged. Very good, Hari.
We had planned for this during our school days. And we had many, many practice sessions. And we used to go for morning darshan and so on, asking Bhagwan for an opportunity to present this drama when we were in school. At that time, Swami said later, 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 and it never transpired. And after I joined Vrindavan in my 2nd year of undergraduate, suddenly the idea of this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drama again surfaced, and it was planned for the convocation drama. and looking for actors who could do those roles. Some of the actors who had practiced for those roles in our school days, we were still students, we were in college at that time, we were chosen. Bhagwan was very pleased with this convocation drama on 22nd November 93, and he said for the doctor's conference in January 94, we should again present this drama. After the presentation of the drama to the doctors, the President of India was also in the audience. Bhagwan was very pleased and he came on stage and started giving out mementos. These were steel vessels and he was handing it out to all the actors, big role, small role, everybody. I was in the final scene of the drama. We were a large group, maybe 20, 30 or even more of us. And in that confusion, it appeared as if Bhagwan did not see me, so I did not get the memento. I did not want to pester him on stage. So, I just walked off stage when everybody else was leaving. Later, in the video of the session, I could see that Bhagwan had called after me, saying that, oh, you did not get. But I did not see that because I had turned away and I was walking. Backstage, our seniors, the teachers, they told me, you go again. Bhagwan wants to give you the memento. So in the next batch again I went and this time Bhagwan gave me the memento. So this fact that Bhagwan was looking out for me but I did not see him, that seems to be a sort of repeating thing in my life. Even in Kodaikanal in 2006, Bhagwan asked me whether I had seen him when he had come to Calicut. So at that time I did not know that we had gone and seen him. In 1976, I would have been a baby, a toddler. But I asked my parents and apparently, yes, they had taken me and gone to a colleague's house where Bhagwan was staying and we had Darshan in 1976. So Bhagwan mentioned it even though I did not know about it.
And how old were you that time in 76?
2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And a couple of days later, when Bhagwan gave all of us Pad Namaskar after the drama, he looked at me and asked, leprosy? So he sort of recognized me in my leper's role.
You were there when on 22nd November, I think 1994, the Prime Minister of India at that time, the late Narasimha Rao, was here. I'm curious to know, you have your entries in the diary. What stands out as the most forceful message that Swami gave that day?
Bhagwan spoke that day in very direct terms. He said, the Prime Minister is here. He is also a person from Andhra Pradesh. So I have some things to tell you. He said, our country will improve if all the rivers are used for common good. There is also one thing I should tell you, that this practice of killing cows should stop. In our sacred land of Bharat, this is not appropriate. The Prime Minister should take steps to stop this. And as we all know, the Prime Minister did not do much about it, but Bhagwan himself started the water project and provided drinking water the very next year to the entire Anantapur district.
Swami was constantly demonstrating and giving examples of how to go about putting your words into practice so that rest of us could learn from him, especially those in decision-making capacities. So unfortunate that the government was only applauding the efforts, not participating by taking it up themselves. Now, after your undergraduate in Brindavan, you went on to do your master's in physics. That was in Prashanthi Nilayam, of course. Those years must have been very memorable as well.
After the closeness at Brindavan, Prashanthi Nilayam was more, you could say, you have learnt your lessons, now practice them. It was something like that. As you know, Didi, in Prashanthi Nilayam, Bhagwan has got a lot more responsibilities, so to speak. So he gets to spend less time with the students in such a close setting as in Brindavan. But yes, one of the things which stand out in my memory is that it was during my first year postgraduate that this waterworks started. That is, sitting for bhajan one day, suddenly tears started coming out of my eyes.
Were you upset? Was there a reason?
You couldn't say that. No specific reason to be sad. It was not that I was sad and crying. You could say I was happy and crying, tears of joy of being in his presence. I was the most surprised person because I never used to cry.
Or show too much emotion.
That's right.
You're so reserved.
That's right. So that is really the power of God. As he used to say, I can turn a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy.
And churn your heart so that, you know, somebody who's as self-contained as yourself could actually have a big cry fest.
That's true.
So you were going through this period of, you know, just catharsis, crying your eyes out, just out of love for Swami. And then you've had issues with your health here.
Yes, Didi. After I started working in the year 2000, I got jaundice. And I was out of action for 2 months. And again, 5 years later, I was again out of action for another 2 or 3 weeks with a lung infection. When I had jaundice, I was initially admitted to the super specialty hospital. I was kept in an isolation ward. Apparently, some of the students who were working there, they spoke to Swami about me. And he said, the reason I contracted jaundice was because I drank the muddy water in planetarium, which was actually true. I was drinking the tap water, which would turn muddy during the monsoon time.
Oh, wow. So water must have been contaminated and he just got to the bottom of it.
That's right. So after I recovered, I started having food in the hostel and taking the water from the hostel, purified water.
Hari, of all the brothers that I have spoken to, especially for in-house fleeting moments interviews from Team Radio Sai, in their story, there's a chapter called Waiting Years. And when people had to wait after completing the education for Bhagwan to tell them what was the right occupation or job for them, you had yours for not too long, about a year and a half.
That's right, Didi.
1997 to 8?
That's right, Didi.
What was it like?
For me personally, it was some of the best months with Bhagwan I had. Because there was no other preoccupation, we had to think only of Bhagwan. During the morning bhajans, we could sit right at his feet in the first row, very first row of bhajan hall. Those days there were no mics, so we were singing directly to him, singing his praises 2 feet away from him. And every day, for months. It was wonderful. There were some other colleagues of mine who had various worries. What would happen to us? How long will we wait? Time is passing and so on. But Bhagwan had given me that mental outlook to be completely convinced that he would take me in at the right time. So even though there were examples of one of my senior colleagues who had waited for 7 years, that did not scare me, you could say. In fact, those years, I did not even think about any minus points about the waiting time. I did not think it was a burden. I felt it was a great blessing.
Well, this is the time when the waterworks was on and your Swami was opening up your heart and...
That's right, Didi.
The bliss was flowing through your eyes.
That's right. He would occasionally glance at me.
Who's that girl crying in the boys' section?
Something like that. And occasionally, it may have been my imagination. I thought I saw a tear or so in his eyes also. I don't know.
Now, Hari, how did you become part of Team Radio Sai? Yourself, Prakash Bharatkar, and of course, Professor G. Venkatraman. You're the small team that led it all under his guidance, Bhagwan's guidance, and under Professor G.V.'s guidance. How did you get handpicked in that team?
When the World Space team came to Prashanthi Nilayam and proposed a satellite radio channel for Bhagwan, Professor Venkatraman was chosen to do the implementation. At that time, I was reporting to him for the planetarium upgradation project, for which I was hired initially. My first job was to upgrade the planetarium. That project was just winding up when this World Space team arrived with this proposal. So since I was reporting to Professor Venkatraman on that project, and he was involved with Radio Sai, it was quite natural that I would also be pulled into the Radio Sai fold.
I don't think it's that natural. It's not easy for Professor Venkatraman to pick anyone to be part of his team, because I know how exacting his standards are. So you must have done a good job, Hari.
I hope so. In 2002, when Bhagwan came for the inauguration of the studio here, I was asked to hold the candle for him to light the lamp. So he looked at me and said, "Oh, you are here." Because he used to see me there at the planetarium and he used to call me planetarium boy. So he was seeing me inside the ashram in the studio. So he asked, "So have you come here? Have you shifted your workplace or something like that?" I said, "No, Swami, I'm still there at the planetarium. I'm just helping them out with some things." So that's how it has remained. I have been at the planetarium and doing Radio Sai work on the side, so to speak.
And that really makes you a star in Swami's sky. When you started working at Radio Sai, was it nerve-wracking initially? You had no specific training to do what you did, and what were the early years like?
The first few months were extremely taxing. We had to generate 4 hours of content every day and write them on CDs. So it was quite a few months of hard slogging. And after that, we transitioned to a playout system without CDs, without having to send physical CDs. And then we had an incident with Bhagwan. A World Space radio had been installed in Bhagwan's drawing room, and some of the authorities promised Bhagwan that his 76th birthday discourse would be aired on a particular day at 11:30 in the morning. And we were informed the previous day. So we had to change the scheduled program and introduce this particular discourse which we had just uploaded. Unfortunately, I made a mistake. There was something wrong in the way in which I did the rescheduling, as a result of which Bhagwan waited for the discourse to come for nearly an hour, but instead some Sundaram bhajans were played. Then Bhagwan retired to his room after waiting for an hour.
Did you get into trouble?
We were also listening to the program, and when it did not come as scheduled, it was as much a shock for us as it was for the authorities.
And it used to be beamed from Australia or somewhere. So once it's gone, you did not have control over it to change it like we have now.
That's right, Didi. Actually, we had control, but we were not so well versed in it to know what to do. I did not know what was the problem, so I could not fix it. And that evening, during the darshan session, when Bhagwan came near, I got on my knees and asked for pardon. I said, "Bhagwan, I made a mistake. I'm sorry." Then Bhagwan said, "Okay, I listened to it. I heard a nice voice on the radio. Whose voice was it?" I asked them. They said it was you. "Oh, you have such a sweet voice." And he created vibhuti and rubbed it on my throat and all that. And he totally changed the whole tenor of the conversation. Instead of chastising me, he complimented me and diffused the whole situation so that the authorities also would not come down heavily on me, and sort of saved my skin, you should say.
So much compassion. He could do it so tactfully that everybody would start smiling. Everybody is ready to get upset with you would also be smiling with Swami, no?
That's right, Didi. And it's a great lesson for people who are in management positions. When somebody makes a genuine mistake and he apologizes for it, how to accept it and how to motivate that person to do better in future.
Hari, now you've been working so assiduously, you're so extremely focused and disciplined. It's not hard to tell you're a very calm person who goes about his work with great attention to detail. You're very efficient. Given your skill set and given your level of intelligence and commitment, you'd be doing exceedingly well if you worked in the outside world in terms of professional success. Does the thought ever cross your mind that what I'm doing, is this the right thing for me to be in an ashram and dedicate my life, my talent, my intelligence, aspirations in a place where there's not a whole lot of opportunity for further growth in terms of promotions or rising within the ranks of the management or something?
Well, Didi, when I was studying, I mentioned that I thought my life goal should be to spend it with Bhagwan. At that time, I thought to myself that even as a sweeper in the ashram, I would be glad to stay with Bhagwan. So it is not what we do, but the way we do it which is important. If we do any job with all our heart, that will give us satisfaction, that will give us fulfillment in life. Earning a lot of money or having a lot of fame may not give you as much fulfillment as you get when you do something with your heart.
You know, you're saying that because you have experienced that deep level of gratification. But someone who is right on that success trajectory, who's experiencing name and fame, they may think that's the be-all and end-all of life. Because, you know, they made it to the cover page of a certain business magazine, or they're talked about in the news. They make some big, huge salary. And here you are, you know, you're talking with such conviction about this gratification of doing a good job and doing it well for a higher purpose. But you haven't tasted life on the other side.
You can say I have tasted life on the other side vicariously, because I have lots of relatives who are in that.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And I can see the amount of happiness which they have, or lack of it, you can say. And Bhagwan also used to tell us, who is the richest man in the world? The one with least desires is the richest man. And who is the poorest man? The one with much desires is the poorest man. And we can see it in action. Life is like a practical laboratory where we can see all these things in action. There's another illustration which Bhagwan gives, that is, if you want a coconut atop a coconut tree, if you climb the shadow, you don't get it. If you climb the actual coconut tree, on the shadow also you get the shadow coconut as well as the real coconut. That is, Bhagwan says that God, our aspiration for God, is climbing the coconut tree, while aspiration for worldly goods is climbing the shadow coconut tree. So when you climb the shadow coconut tree, you may or may not get what you want, but you will not get God. While if you aspire for God, seek ye the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you.
Yeah, the Bible says that. And Swami reassures us of the same sentiment.
Yes, Didi. And all our needs are taken care of. Not just needs in terms of food, clothing, shelter, but also emotional needs and spiritual needs, most importantly. Living in such a peaceful environment, no pollution. And I would say there is ample opportunity for professional growth if one is patient.
I guess a person like you who's used to taking a lot of personal initiatives, you seek out opportunities.
That's right, Didi. In every field, there is scope for advancement if one has sincerity and focus. Here we do not make a big splash, but that doesn't mean that people don't make an impact outside also. For example, some of the Swami students who are working in the hospitals, they have created a great deal of impact on a national and even international stage. They have garnered a lot of respect and positive attention for the institutions because of their excellence in their fields.
Exactly. And I noticed that too. A lot of our brothers who work, for example, in the Satya Sai healthcare system, whether it's the IT area or whether it's management or whether it's telemedicine, all of them are playing some very key roles with mainstream organizations and coordinating, and they are being taken in, they are being actually welcomed with open arms because of their style of working.
That's right, Didi. Even other institutions like the school, the higher secondary school recently got a lot of recognition.
From the Minister of Education for India.
That's
because
right.
of the excellence in their teaching practices.
Yes, Didi. Even the institute, the university gets recognition from the Indian government. Many of the funding agencies find that our university is the one which asks for less money and delivers maximum results.
Because we do it in such an accountable, transparent and efficient manner. So it's nice to know that young people like yourself see growth opportunities in the system.
Yes,
it's very heartening to see. And I hope it encourages more and more young people to continue to work for the ashram and its allied institutions.
Yes, Didi.
going forward, plans for the future, Harinand Kumar?
No plans, Didi, because even from my childhood, I never used to plan for the future. I would welcome whatever he gives. No plans as such.
So life as it happens, one step at a time.
That's right, Didi.
And that keeps you so contented. Don't you have anxiety? Don't you worry about the future?
Not really, Didi. I have this mental picture of a child in a mother's arms. So that child is contented, happy.
And safe.
And safe.
Now, may I ask this child in the mother's arms, who is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba for you, apart from being your mother, of course?
My closest companion, closer than anybody else in the world. And as he says, I am you and you are me. I have not yet reached that stage of understanding. Theoretically, yes. He is a quote-unquote better version of me.
Wow. Quite a learning curve for me to just sit and listen to you, Hari. Really want to thank you for coming forward and opening up to Radio Sai listeners.
Thank you, Didi.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live. Radio Sai.